You're listening to Drake in the Morning
with Danny, Wes, and Fitz
on 98.1 The Max.
It's a beautiful time in this town, and so enjoy that. Lots of festivals going on and activities. And tonight is the big game 5, the Grizzlies and San Antonio Spurs, 8 o'clock in San Antonio. The Grizzlies are a 10-point underdog, which seems to be a little surprising, considering that the last two games the Grizz have won. Close games, of course, and great games. The Spurs have Kawhi Leonard, but beyond that, not the usual, days of old when they had Tim Duncan and Tony Parker at the top of his game. He is aging, and Ginobili is aging. But Kawhi Leonard by himself, they should try to find some way to maybe tie his hands together, because the guy is just incredible. But tonight, this should be fun. Every TV in town will be tuned, most likely, to watch this ball game. 8 o'clock, Grizzlies and Spurs, Game 5. It'll be on NBA TV, which is it's that or the Fox Sports Southeast. Why is this game isn't on TNT or ESPN or someplace is weird. But anyway, it's on at 8 tonight. And I guess we'll get Pete Pranica and Brevin Knight's call on the game. So that is the top of everyone's list for this day. Other things happening in the Mid-South area include the job fair we told you about last week. Over 3,500 jobs available at the Who's Hiring Memphis Career Fair. 50 companies in attendance for today. It is from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Cordova. This is a list of people from FedEx to the Peabody, Kroger, Elvis Presley Enterprises, McDonald's, the Waffle House. It goes on and on and on, but this really is a great chance to be hired by somebody. Who'shiringmemphis.com. We'll let you go there and pre-register yourself if you are so inclined. But this will be a pretty big deal. A lot of jobs from some really top-notch companies. Today, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., if you're trying to find work, this is certainly a nice place to begin that process. The city council meets today. Today, Jim Strickland will roll out his budget for 2017. This morning at 7:30, Kyle Vesey from the mayor's office will discuss what he can about that this new budget proposal idea layout as best he can. Nobody really seems to know what's in it. There are some indications, and there is already media sound bites from Mike Williams of the MPA and Tommy Malone from the fire department. They're already unhappy with how this is looking to them or what they have heard about it. The fire department says that there are no raises and no cuts for them. Well, not no cuts, but no raises. And they are as important in their estimation, which is accurate, as the police department, because in many cases they show up to a ton of crime scenes and wrecks, and they contend they're being left out of this situation. Who knows? But this will be discussed and continued to be discussed for weeks ahead. It's going to be done by the end of June, so they have a couple of months to bitch about it. The story says the basics like safety, paving, and blight will be the priorities of Jim's new budget. Today, it'll be rolled out at 3:30 in the afternoon. 13-member council will ultimately set the fiscal year for this year into next by the end of June. Perhaps the biggest challenge, it's written here, to Jim's brilliant at the basics goal for City Hall is having less money with which to be brilliant. Yes. All right, thanks. The city faces a budget gap of $52 million in 2021 from costs involving pensions, expenses, hiring more officers, the loss of the state's hall income tax, other things like that. So this thing plays itself out every year, and it's pretty much the same thing. There are just different priorities, different needs, and the mayor has to figure out where the money is best spent. There's obviously a great focus on getting more officers on the MPD. That's a real big deal. It's very important. A pay increase of 2% and bonuses for some officers is in the budget. I don't see anything here about the fire department, but there's a ton of money involved here when it comes to running a city of this size and many priorities, and everybody wants their piece. If they get it, is a whole thing that's the entire point for the discussion, debate, and the city council will analyze and the media will analyze and they will finally vote on whatever the heck they think is the best thing to do. On the state level, you know, here's one of the reasons, and I'm really tired of the whole fake news thing. The fake news label and concept is not totally inaccurate. I think maybe it's more appropriate to say that the media can be misleading. They don't tell the whole story. They scratch the surface sometimes and don't get into the real meat of an issue. The commercial appeal today, the front page, and different people there. There are some that write the stories and some that attach the headlines to those stories. The front page, because the phrase tax increase makes everybody immediately vomit and faint and bleed from their eyes and they freak out and we just can't have all that. The headline says gas tax increase heads to governor. Well, that really isn't the entire story, now is it? After weeks and weeks of cajoling and handshaking and bribing and talking, I don't mean bribing, yes, I mean bribing, this thing passed. A big success and probably the legacy that will be left behind by Governor Bill Haslam. The gas tax increase goes to his desk after it was approved yesterday by everybody up there in Nashville who had to work some extra time. God bless them for having to work. And property tax relief for veterans and the elderly is also part of this. There's also a caveat here for lower grocery prices, which is more symbolic in nature than anything else, because of every $100 that you spend, you might save a dollar, says the story here. If you want to read about this, it's in the commercial appeal online and or in the newspaper that is printed. And the gas tax will increase by 6 cents per gallon over the next 3 years. If my math is right, that'd be 2 cents a year. So this is not a gigantic deal that you will feel in your pocket. Overall, the concept is it will lower taxes in more places than it has to do with the raising of a gas tax. It helps lower the property taxes for veterans, older folks, and things like that. And there's a piece here, there's one of the sub-headlines, Why Should I Care? So I wonder if anybody does care or if they're going to even pay attention to this. But it does affect anybody who lives in the state. Not in some dramatic, grand, and sweeping fashion. It just is a change. That is, in summary, a tax cut, not a tax increase, although people just, they flip out at the idea of tax increases, which is pretty much the oil that keeps them, this whole process underway, just the bitching about gas taxes and our taxes in general and or lowering them. So that's always what they run on when they run on something. Well, I voted against this, yes, this whole tax increase. So they call it something else, a fee or something. It's all in how it's presented. And in this case, the governor got what he wanted, and it seems to be a good idea. Other times there are tax raises and fees added that nobody even notices or knows about or cares about. This one, though, in Tennessee is a pretty good-sized deal, and we'll see over the course of time if it has any great impact or not. No one seems to have an opinion yet, but at least today the governor will sign that, and that's one less thing to fool with. The other things happening locally and in the area, which is the same thing, really, locally and in the area. That was redundant. Man, it's been a long time since somebody in the Ford family did something stupid.
That's and what
we
I
have,
thought.
We have missed them. God almighty. Y'all, please keep doing dumb stuff. This is not funny. And Shelby County Commissioner Justin Ford. The Fords, I guess, are pretty much out of the picture, except for Justin Ford, who is a Shelby County Commissioner. And Ed Ford, who is part of the City Council, Edmund Ford Jr., a very nice man, seems to have, pretty good sense. And so we need one of these people to show their behind. We lost Ophelia, some time back.
I just wanted to do something fun.
Man, I miss her. Got him. But I don't know where she went. She isn't dead, is she?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, so she's gone, but Justin Ford punched his girlfriend. This happened on Sunday, 9 o'clock in the evening at the Church's Chicken on Poplar, near downtown. Ford, 32, and his 43-year-old girlfriend were in the car, and when he became belligerent, he then punched her in the face, temporarily blinding her.
Wow!
I saw that last night. I thought, how did they know that she was blinded? She pulled into the church's parking lot, so she was driving. And the witnesses saw the fight between the two. She kept trying to leave the car. He kept pulling her back inside, punching her, pulling her hair, and strangling her until police arrived. Nice. Somebody on the scene said he should know that is a no-no. All right? Yeah. Any man that fights a woman is less than a man. Hard to argue with that. Ford is the son of Mayor Joe Ford, who was the interim mayor, I don't know, whenever the hell that was, back in sometime. He was on the board of commissioners in 2010 and serves over District 9. He could lose his seat on the county commission, but he has to pay. He went to jail and bonded out.
Right.
And there's no way to put a good spin on this. You shouldn't hit a woman for any reason, ever. It's 9 o'clock at night. One might speculate that they had been out having some cocktails, and he wanted to go to KFC, and she wanted to go to churches. So he punched her, or something.
We don't know. That's completely speculation.
I'm trying to make light of it when there's it's not funny at all. But you don't do that kind of crap. But some of these people, once again, who achieve these positions of assumed power because you're on the county commission or something, doesn't mean anything. It doesn't give you license to show your behind and be a jerk and hit your wife or your girlfriend. You're just an a-hole who will pay for it now, and it'll be on your record forever. So nice going, moron, and who knows? But then again, there's two sides to every story. But there were witnesses that watched him repeatedly punch her. So this may be just totally made up somehow. I doubt it. So that one's fun. There's a new scam around town. Now, didn't somebody email us last week, Wesley? And Wes, welcome back from vacation.
Thank you.
A much-deserved downtime for Wesley over his birthday weekend. Turning 70 is a big deal. And Wes had some time. Were you out with swords and like chasing Wookiees, or what'd you do?
No, well, we did do an escape room on Friday with some friends of mine, and that was a really, really fun
time. Is it fun or is it scary?
It was fun. It was working out puzzles with a couple of friends of mine and then trying to get out of the room before the hour went up. And we had two groups, and ours got out, and the other group didn't. So, ha-ha.
Wouldn't it have been more fun, though, to have everybody had a sword or a knife?
Well, maybe. I wanted a hammer just so I could actually beat the door open and escape that way, but the rules said that you couldn't do it that way.
Well, that's really kind of...
That's too bad.
Short-sighted thinking.
But I did have a really good time, and thanks to everyone who came to the couple of dinners my wife arranged and the
very
escape
nice
thing and games and more and lots.
Very, very good. The other scam here is on the news in Shelby County. We had an email, I believe, from somebody, or they called on a lawyer bill day, about the newest scam around here. If somebody sends you a text saying that you have a bill or a traffic fine, it is bogus. Now, the way that this is printed here, Earl Farrell, who now works for the Shelby County Sheriff's Office, I don't know if he really said this or not, but if he needs to, here's the exact quote. If somebody sends you a text, that'd be on your phone, saying we need to send you a bill or a traffic fine, comma, just sit there and throw it in the trash, man.
The phone?
Unless you can pull the text off your phone and throw it in the trash, this would suggest you should toss your phone in the trash. I don't think Earl meant that. But
or to physically throw it into a trash collector himself.
Yeah, I don't know what. And they didn't use a comma between trash and man. So one more example of bad punctuation use. So somebody did get that text, and she forwarded it to the Shelby County Sheriff's Office. And it's somebody that has made stuff up, doing mass texting, saying you owe money due to a red light thing. It's a scam, and somebody will be traced down and caught and punished. But if this thing does come to your text, phone thing, man, we suggest you not toss the phone in the trash. Just delete the text and block the number.
Throw it into the virtual trash.
Yes.
Maybe that's what Earl meant.
That's maybe what he meant. But, it's a hard job.
But he makes a good point, because the text asks you to give your address so that the bill can be mailed to you.
Uh-huh.
And if your license is photographed, they can trace your address from that.
Yes.
It turns out.
Yes.
So they don't have to ask you.
Everybody, there are so many people, trying these scams of various kinds. Wouldn't it be easier just to get a job and make some money or something? Or I don't know, but there are scams now for the IRS, for payment of your stuff. It's everywhere. So just be careful, because things out there are not what they seem. People can't be trusted, and it's a crazy world, getting crazier every day. The issues in North Korea persist. They've been quiet for a couple of days. There were some exercises done yesterday. The U.S. has an aircraft carrier sitting off the coast. We also now have a submarine, which I'm sure is a pretty badass piece of material, out there in waters around them in case they do something stupid. But so far, this seems to be... cooler heads have prevailed. No one knows if China has talked them down or what the story is. So the past two or three or four days, it's been quiet in Syria. North Korea is just talking a lot. The crazy fat kid is begging to be a small greasy spot along with his military and his country. But we have the problem of South Korea, an ally of the U.S. So you can't just destroy the entire country. But they are holding three Americans in North Korea. That's going to start to be an issue. And why it isn't more in the news is the question of the day. It will be. This is Tuesday. So we're counting down to Mr. Trump's 100 days in office, which, as discussed yesterday, seems to be a little ridiculous. This began, we checked it back in the something, in the days of FDR. And... it's really hard to judge a performance in a job like that in 100 days. Like him or not, this is an ongoing work in progress. It's a much more, it's a difficult gig. It's complicated, which he has learned quickly, but he is fighting against all odds to get something accomplished by the end of the week. Congress is back in session. They're trying to figure out how to fund this border wall, which is seemingly an impossible task. It's not going to be done this week. It may be undoable ever. We've run down, and if you've read before, the specifics of what it would take, it's a very, very difficult thing to pull off and would take years and billions of dollars, which many folks in both parties don't think is a smart idea. And it's just hard to do physically. So all the big talk may go away, and you may never hear about this again. the tax reform discussion is seemingly less of a reform and more of tax cuts that benefit corporations and the rich. And there are allegations that the middle class will be involved in that too. But nobody has seen any specifics. And that seems to be a trend. A lot of big talking, a lot of big plans, but nobody has seen anything on paper. It's all talk out of the White House, which never comes to anything. And that is of deep frustration to Mr. Trump, who wants to show that he has done something in 100 days. They got the Supreme Court dude in there. Mr. Gorsuch is now a Supreme Court judge. Yay. That was done. It took the nuclear option to get it done, but that was exercised. Now you got the taxes. You've got the health care bill, which, according to some folks, is they're working their butt off on that. The other side says that there's not been one thing done about it, that Paul Ryan and Trump don't even speak, and that they have achieved or gotten they are no nearer to having a health care bill than they were when it was blown up last month. So they're trying to make trades and make deals and da-da-da-da-da, but this is Tuesday, and the government could, in fact, shut down come the weekend. This morning I heard on a national newscast that the border wall thing may be put aside so they can keep the government running, and they will have until September to work out some more details if it's even possible to work this stuff out. So it just hurts your head. And I have gotten back in the habit of going to CNN and Fox and these networks, trying to hear whose agenda says what about everything. And it'll make you want to scream. It's so maddening. And there's no answers, and they just want to bitch, talking heads interpreting it in their own fashion, whether it's accurate or not. That's the part that no one seems to know. It's just speculation, and the spinning of the issue to somebody else, and nothing ever seems to come of it. So that's pretty much it. The budget talk will be big today. We'll get that with Kyle Veazey. From the Commercial Appeal, David Waters, who has written three great articles or columns this past week. We'll discuss those with him tomorrow. The Shelby County Attorney General, Amy Weirich, will be here. Shea Flynn at 8 to give his take on this budget, which is going to get a number of takes locally from a number of politicians. So that's going to go on. Thursday, Ask Lawyer Bill Day, Bruce Van Weingarten from The Flyer, and on Friday, Ace Atkins, the author of the new Spencer novel made popular by Robert B. Parker. I guess Mr. Parker wrote about 35 of those or more, and Ace is cranking them out one a year. And this one is really good. It's called Little White Lies. It's very funny and a great story, too. The major plot line, if you watch these newscasts, or not newscasts, but these discussions on network news, they've always got an expert on who's a doctor from someplace, from Harvard, or an expert who was a former agent for the CIA, and he was an undercover black ops dude, and but they're experts. So this book kind of focuses on the credentials of these people, who in many cases are just somebody who is conned their way into this position.
Right.
They just have made this up. The guy in this book claims to be a Harvard grad. He was in the CIA, and those guys cannot confirm or deny anybody that was ever there or not. He pretends to be a Vietnam veteran. He's writing a book called American Patriot, and he's on all these, TV news shows, but he's a complete fake and phony. And in fact, he's a gun runner. There's all kind of stuff in here. And now the humor and the sarcasm and the
pop culture references,
the cultural references are just remarkable. And I had planned to go back and start with page one and make a mark or a list of the references that Ace makes in this book. It's everything. It's impossible to explain it, but everything from literature to music to
Pokemon Go.
I didn't get that part yet. It's everywhere, and it just shows you, I think, how smart Ace is and how well researched this book is, and it's just funny and a great, great story too. It'll be out middle of May.
Yes, 11th, I think.
And he's going to be out at Barnes & Noble. He'll be here with us on Friday. You can pre-order the book on the Amazon, and we'll look forward, as we always do, to having Ace here, and that will be on Friday morning.
My bad. It's out on the 2nd. He's here on the 11th.
So that's next Tuesday, right? Mm-hmm. Or Monday or something. I don't know. But get it. It's a pretty fast read, but it's really fun. And today, again, we have money to give to you. $300 freaking dollars, American. When you hear the Sounder deal, call 535-9898. Ninth call wins the money. It's that easy. At some point today on Jarman's show, the same thing. The Afternoon Guy show, same thing. It's money all day, every weekday in April. So today, no exception. That's coming up, along with tickets to see the Beale Street Music Festival, which is coming in a week from this weekend. So everything is marching along. It's almost May, for goodness sake. So enjoy your day. It should be pretty. The sun's out. Tomorrow it gets a little bit weirder, Thursday too. So the rain chances persist or exist from Wednesday through Monday. And the weekend especially looks funky again. Then it cools off next week. So this could change, though, so don't get too excited about it. That's all it. That's what we got. We got some sports news next. Not much. It's NBA Finals. The NHL playoffs were off yesterday. And so that's the deal. The NFL draft is coming up, and all the pundits are predicting what will go on with that. So there are some things to discuss as we get nearer into it. Our friends at Jameson Pest and Lawn hope they're coming to my house pretty quick. There are some bare spots on the lawn that have me going, what the heck is this? They'll fix them. They always do. These yards are getting all greened up. Everything is in bloom. And also this time of year is it is bug time. Termites this time of year have to be controlled, captured, killed, eradicated, and destroyed all at once. Swarms of bugs might be termites. Have these guys come by and examine what the problem is, and they can check your entire house for it and treat it and all of that, because these termites can just destroy a home or a shed or your barn or whatever the case may be. 452-1505. It'll be time to spray for mosquitoes soon. If your yard has issues, they can kill the weeds and all that too. A full service company in business now for 70 years. Pat O'Brien and his guys are doing really good work, and we thank them as always. 452-1505, JamesonPest.com is the address to, or the website, to go and see them there if you wish. We'll do a break and come back. Sports, your emails, and all of that after this. The address to write to us is mail@drakeinthemorning.com.